Blog Talk Radio.
Believe, Lord, no matter what, I believe.
Hey, welcome to the Word Unknown. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're excited to have each and every one of you all. And without further ado, I'm going to ask Pastor B. Bell, if she'll be so kind to give us a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the lesson.
Amen. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Pastor, for that song. Amen. I believe God will. Yes, he will. Whatever we believe in him for, he will. The scripture I'd like to read is coming from Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We're thanking you, Father God, for another day. Thanking you, Father God, for another opportunity that we can come together and study the word together, Father God. Thankful for the listeners that called in and those that are listening by internet, Father God. And Lord, we're so thankful for our pastor as he teaches this word, Father God. Help us open up our hearts to receive the word so that we can meditate on that word day and night, Father God. Lord, bless all those that are sick and shut in, those who ask us to keep them lifted up in prayer and be with the bereaved families, Father God. Lord, you said in your word, you will, and not only peace, but perfect peace, as long as our mind is stayed on thee. And by your stripes, we are healed. And there's nothing impossible for you to do. So, Lord, help us to stand on the word. Help us believe. And help us to open up our hearts and our mind to receive the word. We ask it all in Christ Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to start with our foundational scripture, and then we're going to put a little emphasis on the text and the subject that's at hand. The foundational scripture is found in Mark 11, 23-24. I'm going to ask Pastor Shear read it from both versions if she have it, and if not, I can. Hallelujah.
Okay, Pastor.
Okay.
So I can read it from the King James and also the Message Bible. So from the King James, 11:23-24. And that's 23 and 24, okay. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and thou, okay, let me start over. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall believe unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, which he saith it shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Amen, amen,
amen.
Praise God. And from the and from the Message. I keep wanting to go to Luke for some reason. Here we go. Verses 23 and 24. Really embrace it, and nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, go jump in the lake. No shuffling and shilly-shackling, and is good as done. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life. You'll get God's everything. Amen.
Amen, amen. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, when you understand this scripture, a lot of people are using this scripture for financial gain. Some people are using it for whatever, because it says, "For I say unto you that whatsoever you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things that he saith shall come to pass."
Mm-hmm.
Well, some people have gained that knowledge. Some people have gained that truth. But they don't understand that there is a silent killer there. And that silent killer, that killer is being able to create, to be able to make things happen. But by the same token, that killer, that silent killer there that you're not looking at, that needs to be put in check, is your heart. Make sure your desires are right.
Yeah.
Because
amen.
So whatsoever you desire, see, that's where the problem lies. Because it also says, and you shall not doubt in your heart. So you come to the place in your life that you don't doubt, but you believe. Why? You have enough truth. You have enough facts. So you got this truth and this knowledge, so you can now believe. Hey, I'm going to call these things to be not as though they were. And people began to speak this.
Mm-hmm.
They began to gain that power. They began to believe in these things. And in the results of it, people are doing all kinds of things. All kinds of things are happening. And their people are becoming competitive. So that's why I think, first of all, we might want to just really tackle that word and get a clear understanding, because a lot of people, especially in the church world, and when I say the church world, those who have come into this knowledge, that know that they can speak things into existence, that these are the people I'm really dealing with right now. It's people who have the ability and know that they have the ability. So therefore, they're believing it, and they began to speak things into existence. Now, I want you to know, it's good and it's bad, but there is a silent killer there that you're not taking in consideration, and that's what you got in your heart. Now, so let's get some understanding of what we're talking about. Like for instance, the word competitive. I mean, I can give you a couple of definitions, but that word competitive, it relates to characterized by or based upon completion. And when you understand that word, it sort of speaks as inclining a desire. So when the word says whatsoever things you desire or whatsoever things you want. See, I want y'all to hear that. I want you to hear that. Whatsoever things you desire. So that's what's competitive is. It's a desire. Along with that, I want you to make sure you understand that word competitive, what it also means, it also means to kind of you've been driven. That competitiveness calls you to be driven. That it calls you to be hungry, for a better word. Hungry in the sense of it would call aggressiveness, because you have this desire and you're being driven. I just like that understanding, being driven. Then you turn right around and you understand that that word competitive means completion, the act of processing or almost like a revival somewhat. The effort of a person depending on a business to be successful, they find themselves being competitive. But I want you to look at it like this, and then I can move on. When I think about what it completion and what that really means, for a moment something happened here. It suggests to me that it's almost like a contest. You know, it's like a match. When you're thinking about being competitive or competition, for instance, because the other side of that word has to do with competition. And when you are in competition, like tournaments, games, sports, whatever, a battle, a racing, this is competition. So being competitive is competition. That's what it is. Like a tournament, championship, whatever. So we have to be real careful to understand what competitiveness is. But now the issue or the problem come when we began to use the word I, my, and, because along with that comes jealousy. So when I say competitive jealousy, it's what I'm trying to get you to understand. When you see that word, whatsoever things you desire, you can desire, and it's nothing wrong with it, because you can have good desire, and you can mean well, and it's nothing wrong with having good desire. But don't let it become competitive to the place that you allow pride to overtake you. Let me give you an illustration, for instance, and then we can move on past this. Like for instance, my neighbor built a garage because he wasn't able to store his lawnmower, okay? And so he had to go and build another garage so he could put his tools on one side, his lawnmower. He already had a two-car garage, so he went on and built another. Well, the neighbor saw that. And it's nothing wrong with you wanting to build another garage. It's your property. I get all of that. You can do what you want to do, your money. But what happened is that it looked so good and it was so beautiful that, I'm telling you, it become competition now, sort of like a sport thing. See, it's turning. It's changing from, man, that's beautiful and nice, so I want one. But his reasoning for doing it is wrong. He only do it because his neighbor did. His neighbor had a reason for that. That doesn't mean he can't do that. That's not what I'm saying. I want y'all to understand me. It's the reasoning, the desire that was in his heart to be better and greater than his neighbor. And I'm not saying anything wrong with that either. What I'm saying is, it's for the wrong reason, because what you just let in was that silent killer. You just let that silent killer in, that spirit that constantly seduced the people of God to want to be better, want to be great, and I get all of that. But when you start doing things for, I see people right now, they're only building churches because this guy built a church and then this one wants this one to be better. And we want to have hanging chandeliers and we want to have, and then the Bible says whatsoever thing we desire when we pray to believe that we can have it. And yet it says all of that, but wait a minute, why are you really doing that? And then we want ours to be better. So then you turn around, you get all these people involved into some fundraising, and they raising money, they doing this all for you, because your motives was wrong. Your desires was wrong. You tried to be bigger than First Baptist, or because they had a dome, you got a home. They don't build church buildings anymore. They build domes. They have stadiums. And that competitive spirit goes on and on. And then it becomes pride. People get caught up. And all I'm trying to tell you is that the most important thing is to maintain a proper perspective on whatever it is. It doesn't matter, especially when it comes to knowledge, especially when it comes to you learning, more especially, I should say, when it comes to you learning, when it comes to what we've been talking about, truth, knowledge, and belief, knowing some things. And then there's just some things you ain't going to never know anyway. You can't know everything. But guess what? You can about believe everything. And that's why God put it that way, so we could believe. Salvation is predicated on you believing, not you knowing. But get to believe means you need to know some things to believe. But it's all predicated on you believing more so than you knowing. Because your eternal life is not predicated on what you know. Because you don't even know God like that. But you can believe it. He gave his son that whosoever believeth in him, so you got to believe in him. You're not that, you have eternal life. It's all about believing. Believing is acting on that knowledge that you have. And you can call it secondhand, whatever, whatever. But you're never going to know it all. You're never going to know how the computer works, but you're going to believe it's going to work, so you're going to start using it. You don't have to know it. You don't have to know all the components. You just believe that, hey, when you do it, you're going to, whatever you're doing, if it's putting together nothing more than a letter, you're going to believe that, hey, when I get through typing, whatever, and you don't have to know all of what's happening. I made mention of a phone yesterday. There's a lot of things we will never, ever know, but we'll believe it, and we'll act on it, and we'll go on in life like that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You ain't got to know it all. I remember when I was learning about anti-brake lock system. I didn't know all four wheels to lock at the same time and how that all that stuff worked and everything, but I knew I had it, and if I would do what they say to do, just like stirring on ice, all kinds of things. So I have to know all of that. I just had to believe it and act on it. When the situation arrived, I just act on it. I have to know everything. And but here's the thing. You have to maintain a proper perspective. So whatever things you desire when you pray, you have to believe it and make sure you're maintaining a proper perspective. Now, somebody may think, oh, that's real easy to do. But sister, let me tell you what. Satan's going to find his way. And I'm going to tell you how he's going to find his way. Because you're able to speak. You're able to create things. Because your words can create things. And you will become like Satan if you're not careful. And you begin to find yourself changing. Because remember the word Lucifer? He was changed into the devil. What made him change? Remember he became anointed? He had that power. He could speak things. And because Satan, by introducing the original sin into the universe, was pride. And pride, and we read a little bit yesterday, I'm going to ask Pastor Shear to read it again, over there in Isaiah, well, I read another scripture too, but we'll read Isaiah 14 and 12. Well, actually, we read Isaiah 14, 13 and 14, but I think we read from 12 through the 14th verse. But here's the point. Here's the point. God created all the angels, Lucifer. He made Lucifer superior in every way, in wisdom and beauty and authority and anointing, and the Bible called him perfect. Now, some of y'all may not like that, and I'm not trying to preach faith, and I'm just trying to give you how you can get caught up, because that competitive spirit, how it got into the earth. Therefore, God did create the angel, Lucifer, but through the sin of pride, Lucifer became Satan and changed from Lucifer into the devil. Lucifer, the anointed cherubim, became Satan by introducing sin. And this sin he introduced was called pride. So pride, Lucifer became Satan. Now, I ain't trying to go through all that, but I do want you to understand that the sin and the fall of Satan. So here's what he said in Isaiah 13 and 14. When you find that, Pastor, let me know.
Okay, Pastor.
Okay, read that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14. For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of God, far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heaven and be like the Most High. Amen. I'm sorry, I read that from the New Living Translation. From the King James, it reads, For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Amen.
So the sin is given in detail. If you notice those two verses, I will mm-hmm. ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. I will mm-hmm. ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Lucifer became Satan by choosing his own will above the will of God. So when you this question, because where did sin originate? The answer is in heaven, in the heart of Lucifer. That's where it was at. Mm-hmm. It was in the heart of Lucifer. That's the true answer, because I tried to prove. Now, I don't know if they accepted it or not, but the true answer is it was in Lucifer's heart. It wasn't in heaven. It was in Lucifer. Big difference.
Yes.
So God determined the sentence of where angels or man are created. But I'm telling you, when you began to speak things into existence, make sure it's the will of God.
Yes.
Make sure that your desire is based on the word of God. And I want you to know right now, God wants you to have a house. God wants you to have nice things. God is not against any of that. Matter of fact, the Bible says above all, he wants you to prosper and be in good health. So it is God's will that you have everything. And what God has given you in terms of your talent is so unique. He's given you the ability to get wealth. But when you start comparing and want to be like Joe Willie, want to be like Frank, want to be like Mary, you miss out on the gifts that God has given you because you haven't allowed God to multiply those gifts. You haven't allowed God to take you to the level that you need to go.
Yes. Amen.
Steph Curry wasn't the only three-point shooter. He just began to use his in a different manner. Most people got right to the line. Steph Curry, he started doing it at half court because he started using his own ability to create. But But if he stayed right there at that point line, he'd been like all the others. And that's all I'm saying to you. It's okay to be competitive, but, man, you have another place God wants you to go. You have other things. I was talking to this preacher. He thinks his gift is just to stay at the church in the church building, preach to the same people. But he have no paper to prove that, when, especially when the word of God said, go you therefore. So I said, you have enough talent to share. I mean, I know people right now who blesses the body of Christ by going forth speaking the word of God, by enlightening things. And I could go on and on and on. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. And I didn't really want to get off into all these names and titles of Satan. But, I mean, I could if it was necessary. But you can do your own research. But when I tell you, the more you begin to use things in the wrong manner, the more you're going to become converted and in the wrong way. You use, I mean, I watch people right now. They're only using that to get money. I watched a guy the other night. I don't go around just looking for people. God allowed this stuff to come forth. And I saw this guy, he got into the numbers game. And he's trying to say, if you'll give this, and God. Brother and sister, when God talk about riches and glory, he's talking spiritual. He blessed us with us. And I'm going to show y'all, maybe I'll start that off tomorrow to show you. But God have given us all riches and glory. And nobody never look at the whole thing. He's talking about spiritual gift. When he talk about being complete, he's talking about spiritual. He's talking about the flesh. So it's important. It's important that you maintain a proper perspective by allowing the word of God to be first in your life, okay? Well, I'm going to stop it right there. Anybody have any comments at this time? Hallelujah. Okay. If not, we will go on. See you all.